Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw. It's our day after travel day. It's our day after travel week is over, so we're doing this remotely.
Yeah, we've been around each other plenty. We need some space.
Really? That wasn't the reason. I figured I like being around you. I had a blast this week. You know what, buddy? Ever since I got slammed by you in the press over being grumpy during WrestleMania week, I've decided to turn my attitude around. I've decided to give myself an attitude adjustment.
Good.
So I'm going to be the cheery one on travel weeks now.
Cool. I like that. Well, we actually, all jokes aside, we did have a great time this week, didn't we, Steve?
All jokes is that you sound so sarcastic right now.
No, I had a
blast. It just went by really quick because we packed a lot of stuff in.
It did.
So it was fun. And again, thanks to the friendos out there for rolling with the punches in terms of lack of content this week.
Yeah.
Obviously, we didn't do the dailies. We got the Raw SmackDown Super Show in. We did an Ask Steven Larson instead of like a regular wrestling thing. Next week, everything's going to go back to normal. And next week, we're planning out our rollout schedule for next week because it's sort of 2K18 week for us next week.
Yes, we're and also we have the Interdimension Tension that's happening on Tuesday.
Kind of in a way, kind of a send off of sorts for 2K17.
Yeah,
it's our big blow off pay per view, Top Notch versus Mecha Santa plus the Fun / WGPW roster versus W Steve W roster, so that's going to be a lot of fun. So next week, man, we're rolling out the
we got a
everything.
Lot, we got a lot to do next week.
We have a lot to do, so that should be a lot of fun. We're not here to talk about all that. We're here to talk about 205 Live and NXT, another couple good episodes. Interesting to see the direction they're taking with Enzo. So one of my critiques on the main event segment, the Enzo Certified G celebration coming out of Raw, was I kind of feel like Enzo gave us kind of a half-hearted heel turn, and he put most of the impetus for the heel turn was on the rest of the cruiserweight division when they destroyed him after the cameras rolled, and that we saw that in the 13-minute long opening Enzo promo for 205 Live this week. And I thought that his promo to start the show, I think that 13 minutes he went, I really loved his performance, and I was trying to think of a movie analogy, I guess, where it's a character who sort of he's shown his true colors, and he's trying to stay on the good side of everybody, but everybody's turned their backs on him. And
a situation where success has gone to his head.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that might have been kind of bubbling under the surface in terms of his ego is now there for the whole world to see now that he has that cruiserweight title. And so I kind of like that they're making him a heel, but there's some layers to his heel character. He's just not an a-hole. He's just not a bastard. He's mostly just driven by ego. He's doing just what it takes to be a star, but not necessarily be a good wrestler.
Right, I know. I really liked it. I liked when he comes out there and he recounts what happened, and then he shows us the footage of what happened after Raw went off there. Of course, Braun comes out, destroys him. The cruiserweights come. Braun then invites the cruiserweights in to destroy him. He makes the point that because he had the Kurt Angle clause, where if anybody in the division touched him, that they would lose an opportunity, a title shot. And he says, "It looks like I'm going to retire because everybody Everybody put their hands on me.
Mm-hmm.
He brought up the fact that his mother was sitting front row for the celebration, and she had to watch. She had to close her eyes while he got pummeled by everybody. And
her eyes were closed and he was like half conscious, all he could hear was "one more time, one more time."
Yeah,
and
right.
His mother had to witness that. Yeah. There's this interesting moment where after he showed what happened on Raw, they cut back to him and the crowd's chanting, "You deserve it. You deserve
yes.
it." As in, he deserved that beatdown. And he turned it around and said, "Yeah, you're right, I deserve it. I deserve this belt."
Right. So that I thought that was really effective. I thought him playing up his injury and taking forever to get into the ring. I really liked his performance.
Yeah, it was good.
I thought that, like you said, that there, it felt like there were layers to it. You know, when he was he really isn't. He's sort of half not accepting that the crowd can't stand him or that the crowd has turned on him. He's half. Well, not half and half, but he's like partially. He's partially like not willing to accept that. He's partially sort of still trying to solicit their sympathies, and yet he can't let go of his ego.
Mm-hmm.
It's all wrapped into one. I thought, honestly, I was like, this is kind of out of a movie. Like, I can kind of, I see this character. I see him.
Yeah.
And I see what they're doing. And I think it's pretty interesting.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to make this last point that Dave Meltzer made in the Wrestling Observer, and that they said that he said that he felt that his promo on Raw was kind of trying to toe the line because and I wonder if this is an Enzo thing or if this is a company thing. They're not really prepared to give up on the merchandise sales that comes with him being a face. And so that's why he didn't go. And if you see when he came out this time, he was playing up to the kids. And I wonder if they're going to, I think you can pull this off where if he still plays to the kids a little bit, at least coming down the ramp, maybe that kind of, like that kind of gear. I wonder if this character can maintain the merchandise sales.
Well, I think
they might be able to.
I think in the last few weeks we've seen there's kind of two aspects to Enzo. One is insanely over, the other not so much. Him coming out and doing his routine. You know, the "my name is Enzo Amore" stuff.
Yeah.
That's incredibly over. That'll probably always be over.
Yeah.
When he gets in the ring after he concludes that, when he actually does a promo, it's kind of hit or miss whether people were into it or not. And then when he does the soft thing, people will you know, go along with that. So his routines are still over and probably still be over.
Yeah.
But everything in between, they can, to a certain degree, heal him up a bit. And it could probably be effective. They might be able to kind of have it both ways if they do that.
I think this is kind of a rare case where they can. He doesn't have to. He can call the crowd out for hating him, but it's obvious his character still wants the crowd's adulation.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. This version of his character isn't going to let go of those things the crowd eats up.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of the only thing that he can grasp onto. Well, I still have that.
Yeah.
And in terms of, you know, the business side of things, keeping those merchandise sales, I think that'll probably, you know, they can probably accomplish that. It's not like a Neville thing where he's like fully, or, you know, prior to this sort of turn where he was like full heel. I did appreciate too that the crowd at the beginning anyways was chanting, "We want Neville."
Yeah.
Or there was a portion of him anyways doing it. So I thought that was good. Neville did.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I would say between this opening segment and the segment between Enzo and Daivari backstage, I thought both those segments really actually did a lot to really flesh out this new Enzo. I'm just going to jump ahead because I actually really enjoyed the Enzo Daivari bit where Enzo's backstage. Daivari comes up to him. Daivari puts the blame for everything on Neville.
Yeah.
And Enzo at first says, "Yeah, well, too bad. You still attack me. No title shot for you." Yeah. And then Daivari starts buttering him up. Mm-hmm. And Enzo the whole time is just doing this. It's bordering on being over the top.
Yeah.
But it was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, Daivari says, "How you doing?" And then Enzo got super serious and just says, "Don't say that.
Yeah, don't say that.
Don't ever say that." It was good.
Yeah, no, it was good stuff. They, I'm trying to remember, did they even address the predicament of the title clause thing?
No.
Okay, they didn't. Okay.
No. Well, Neville kind of did in his promo, but we'll get to that in a little bit.
Well, he addressed it. He said,
But no one from management addressed the fact that apparently there's no number one contender for the Cruiserweight title right now.
Yeah, I always get the feeling, like, I mean, they mentioned Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
And now and again, but like he never really shows up on 205 Live, so I always get the feeling that 205 Live just sort of runs itself.
Yeah, it kind of feels that way.
Yeah.
If they're not on Raw, then yeah, there is. It's 205 Live. It just runs itself.
Right. I was honestly like, I know that the segment went really long. I was kind of surprised when I looked at the time. I was like, holy crap, the 13 minutes. It honestly didn't feel that way.
It was
one of those things where, right, where when Enzo was talking, like Enzo had a lot to address. And he addressed it all, so it was kind of interesting to see where they're going with that. So I don't know. I like the segment. I thought it was good.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Next, we had Akira Tozawa taking on Tony Nese. Drew Gulak came out to join the commentary team.
Yeah.
He is fantastic playing this character.
Yeah.
His new music is maybe a tad too
sinister.
Yeah, that's the exact word I was going to use.
Should be more political.
Yes, very much so. It should sound more like a newscast theme.
yeah, I get
that. And less like some villainous theme from a movie. Nonetheless,
yeah.
I don't really understand his video package now either. It doesn't fit his character at all.
Dude, yeah, I know. I don't know why, for the life of me, they're not using that picture of him with a baby that's on his Twitter avatar, I think, or his Twitter banner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just use that. Because all I have is just like, I think it's an old one. It's like it's like his he's got like a bear. He's talking about like the image they project, like the Drew Gulak image thing.
Yeah, the Titantron.
Yeah, it's he's got a beard still, and he's still wearing the King Arthur thing, but he's like silhouetted.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, like unto itself is kind of neat.
Well, yeah, but it's not it doesn't fit him at all.
No,
like it should, dude. It literally should be him. There's that picture on his Twitter avatar, I think, still.
Yeah, it should be him like out in the backstage area shaking hands.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It should be all centered around Drew Gulak trying to make 205 Live better in his eyes.
I mean, dude, it kind of writes itself. Like, that aspect of things kind of produces itself. Like, just whip it together. I could whip it together in 5 minutes. They
literally, just make it all in PowerPoint. It would fit.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I like they've been playing the PowerPoint thing up. It's like, make that, you know, make that part of his video package as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyways, it's a good match. I love Tony Nese. He's like one of my favorites. I can't get enough of his at the top of the ramp.
Oh yeah,
talking about his body. I think it's great.
Oh, that one point where he stopped mid-match and said, "Hold on, everybody came here to watch me pose."
Oh, it's fantastic.
Or flex. He said flex, and so he flexed his bicep. It was great. And then Gulak.
No, I love Tony. They've done a really good job. You know, it's so easy for, and I've said this before, it's so easy for premier athlete to be a very generic gimmick. They've done everything possible to make that into kind of something interesting, or at least something that's entertaining.
I know. It's been really good.
Yeah. Anyways, fun match. But
yeah, it was. Tozawa won with his top rope senton. Afterwards, right. Drew Gulak gets in the ring and calls the people sheep, the audience sheep, for chanting. And then he kind of twisted Akira Tozawa's chant into a sheep's baa.
Yeah. And he did it. He did it incessantly.
Yeah.
Until he did. He didn't. He didn't. He load up one more PowerPoint.
Yeah. Yeah. It was
no celebration.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so yeah. Tozawa got kind of tired of hearing his chant be bastardized to a sheep's bah.
Oh.
And so he attacked Drew Gulak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So furthering the storyline between these two, it'll be a good match. Looking forward to
that. Yeah, no, it should be. Yeah, probably a good couple matches.
Yeah, we already touched on the Enzo Daivari backstage segment. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Next, we had a scheduled match between TJP and Lince Dorado. Of course, Lince Dorado was attacked before his scheduled match against Rich Swann. And it doesn't take a leap of logic to assume that it was TJP who perpetrated that attack. Anyways, right as Lince is coming out, Rich Swann just runs right past him.
He drives right past him. I really wish he was doing the driving thing when he did that.
Oh, just like shifted into turbo and then ran down.
And he had his hand on the steering wheel.
Yeah. So Rich Swann slides in the ring and TJP starts pummeling him.
So that was, I think he overshot that slide by a good like 8 feet.
Yeah.
Because man, he shot into that ring.
He just ended up like right in TJP's lap pretty much.
TJP had no chance. Like, okay, well, I can't just no sell this. Like, I can't just let him stand up and start beating me up. So, yeah, he had to go down. But then Rich Swann turned around on him, got the upper hand, and beat him up a little bit.
Yeah.
Next up, we had Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher down. That was like in the bowels of the arena, or is that?
Yeah. No, that was right. Kendrick was. I don't know. Like, I feel like they need to add something else to this Jack Gallagher character.
You know what they should add? Just randomly have like his face spattered in blood.
Yeah, that's better. I mean, he's doing, like, for him to be a villain, he's not necessarily changing anything except he's talking slower and in a monotone.
Smile. He doesn't smile.
It's that kind of dispassionate aspect to his voice, and he's supposed to be menacing, and it's not really working. He just seems, like, sleepy.
I'll be honest, I kind of like it. I see it. He doesn't smile.
But I don't feel like there's no simmering rage underneath any of it. That's my thing.
Yeah.
He's just speaking slower
He doesn't naturally seem like a sinister guy.
No, I know.
Sinister guy, yeah.
But I feel like that's necessary if they want to get this character over.
I'm telling you, man, a little bit of like just blood spatter on his face. And
oh, that would
like,
help.
Where did that come from? Like, he always looks like he's coming from a murder scene.
Okay.
Or, like, a pummeling scene.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know, I mean, they referred to him as Jack the Ripper once.
Mm-hmm.
Play that up.
Yeah.
You know, have him carrying around, like, a dull, rusty machete in his back, sort of in his back belt loop. And then, you know, some blood spatter on his face. You want sinister? There's your sinister.
That would do it.
That'd be terrifying. I'd buy into that. But I don't know. I kind of dig it. I like it. And then, you know, Brian Kendrick was doing the majority of the talking.
Yeah. He intro'd the promo and did most of it. And then Gallagher chimed in at the end.
Yeah. So kind of interesting to see how this goes. I mean, I like this better than what led to it.
Yeah. Oh,
would it be creepier if Gallagher donned the clown outfit like I keep on asking for?
It might. Yeah.
You know,
if he was doing everything as he's doing now, but just wore clown makeup. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be a bit weird.
It'd be great.
Could be. and they announced, too, that Gallagher has a match against Cedric Alexander next week.
Oh, nice.
Which should be great.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Next, Neville comes to
the ring. I wonder, but he's probably going to be wearing not his candy stripe pants.
I hope he wrestles in his suit.
I think he's wearing his suit, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be the right move.
That'd be good.
Next, Neville comes to his ring against Daivari. Comes to his come to the ring.
Comes to his ring.
Match
he's still the
against
king.
Against Daivari. Sorry.
Still the king.
Drops a promo and says, "Yeah, I know I won't get a title shot. I don't care. I'd do it again. I would beat a Benzo every day."
I was a little annoyed they're wetting him a little bit.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Oh, really? Was
no.
it? Wait, am I tripping? Was it something else? Maybe it was something. No, I thought it was this. I thought I heard some what's. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I hope so too, because that would be annoying.
Freaking love Neville.
He's I hope they don't go full on face with Neville. I want him to keep his edge.
Yeah, for sure.
So I mean, like the last couple of weeks, or like this week, I should say, on Raw and then on 205 Live, they did a decent enough job because his body mannerisms are still the same. Like he really leans into it when he wants to emphasize something and what. So.
No, so I think I like to think that they understand that part of what made him so great over the past couple of months is his full character change. And I would really doubt that they would
abandon.
I mean,
you
can't put it past anybody, but yeah, I doubt that they're going to ditch that altogether. I think they, you know, they understand that, you know, like he got over as a heel for a pretty good reason because all of a sudden he had this amazing character that he unleashed and, you know, you can't go back to just boring Neville.
Nope.
But anyways, yeah, no, I love this promo. That was great. It was still in that character. So hopefully that's a good sign, you know, addressing that. Anyways, out comes Daivari.
Like instantly Neville's attracted by Enzo. Cause Enzo walks out with Daivari, stands in his corner and Daivari takes advantage. And I think it was like a 10-minute match and Daivari was in control for about 8 minutes of it.
Oh, yeah. Because of that, because of the distraction of, because Enzo, I kind of like too, they had a mic kind of pointed at Enzo so you could hear what he was saying. And it was just, I don't know, the trash talk kind of made me laugh. Like he was saying, "Oh, look, it's your precious." And he was dancing with it and stuff, really taunting Neville. I thought that was a pretty entertaining aspect of things.
Eventually, Neville manages to turn the tables, puts the rings of Saturn on Daivari, picks up the win.
Mm-hmm.
And after the match, Enzo gets in the ring with his crutch. And starts beating the hell out of Neville with it.
Oh, yeah.
He was really laying in Neville with that crutch.
Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah, that crutch got destroyed over Neville.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was good.
So if any moment, I guess, is going to be for sure Enzo's heel turn, it was that beatdown with the crutch.
Oh, yeah. And I think between that and his opening, I thought that opening promo did a lot. You know,
I thought
that he really, it's always good when you see somebody like fully realize what direction they're supposed to be going in. And I really feel like that was the case with Enzo. Yeah. And I'm really hoping, it'll be really interesting. So like last week's ratings were, you know, I think they were in 11th again. So the Enzo experiment kind of only worked that first week he was on. I really hope that having them in the main event segment and that sort of Braun and then the rest of the Cruiserweight division segment really kind of like, you know, a lot of people are sharing that on Twitter. I don't know if you want to consider it viral or not, but a lot of people are sharing that. I'm really hoping that helps the ratings. You know, I hope that more people, we had at least one person on Twitter say, hey, you know, after never having checked it out because of that segment at the end of Raw, I checked it out this week and it was actually pretty cool.
Good.
Hopefully more people will do that.
Yes.
Because I mean, I just feel like so many people probably associate it with something like main event, you know, it's a bunch of afterthoughts and it's decent as its own thing.
Oh, 205 Live is consistently, it might be my favorite show in all of WWE.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's 1A and 1B with NXT right now.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But I just feel like 205 Live really excels when it comes to character.
Yeah, I agree.
And storytelling. And, yeah. I'm rarely disappointed in the show.
Yeah, no, for sure. Next up, we had NXT.
Yeah.
By far my favorite hour of wrestling television, man. I freaking love another great freaking episode.
It was really good.
Weird stuff going on. Pick apart.
Yeah, the show opens up with William Regal kind of laying out the plans for the NXT Women's Championship. He said beginning next week, I think, they're going to start having matches to fill out that Fatal 4-Way match. That's happened at NXT TakeOver Houston.
Right. So, wait, I think is this going to be like a bunch of three-way, triple?
Yeah,
match,
yeah. Right? I kind of looked through the taping results. And I saw two. I don't remember seeing the third.
All right.
Spoiler alert, by the way. I won't say who won because I don't remember.
Don't even give us the participants. Don't even.
I'm not going to. I'm just trying to remember if I saw anything about it.
But okay, let me just ask you this one question: Are they putting anybody from the Mae Young Classic in these matches?
I don't remember.
Okay, all right, that's fine. So that's cool. That's neat. I mean, that's kind of where we wanted to go with that. I mean, it's not exactly a tournament, but it's not like they have enough people for a tournament, anyways. Really?
Oh, they could. They could have a. I don't think they can have an 8-woman tournament, but at least 4.
Well, so, I mean, they did.
If they have 2 triple threat matches, there's 6 at least, and they can find at least 2 more wrestlers. They could have had an eight-woman tournament.
But it's kind of tournament-ish. I mean, they had a qualifying match tonight for one of them.
Yeah.
Liv Morgan and Vanessa Bourne, they said, was a qualifying match, so it's kind of tournament-ish. I'm fine with that. I'm good with that. Although, wait, was Vanessa Bourne in the Mae Young Classic?
She was.
Oh, yeah. Keep them out of that. Anyways, first up we had, Eric Young come out and drop a very top-notch super best. It's been so long. I still don't know his name.
Shouldn't know it by now.
A promo where he talks about space and time and how it doesn't exist in NXT. That's how they explain like all the like random call-ups and then how Bobby Roode just disappeared after he literally disappeared.
Different character, yeah.
Exactly.
Teleported straight to a SmackDown Live house show that was happening that night.
Exactly. Oh man. But no, I like this promo. It was short to the point. I love Nikki Cross. She was all trying to hug Damo, and he sort of like shoved her away a little bit. Didn't shove her away, but kind of shrugged her away.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. Every time I hear him talk, though, it just hurts my throat.
Oh, I know.
Because I know, like, whenever I talk. And I got a bum throat. That's what I sound like.
It's a close approximation.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody sounds like Eric Young.
Oh, I know, right? I know. It's great though. It's so traveled.
Yes.
But anyways, that was great. He sort of drops the mic. It was announced we're going to get him versus Adam Cole Bebe for the main event.
Yep.
In Adam Cole's in-ring debut for NXT, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
Next up, Lars
Sullivan walks to the ring. Again, shows his rear end towards the camera.
And now nobody that watches this show, our recaps from last week especially, nobody cannot see him point his ass at the crowd It's great. I mean, everybody sees it. Everybody sort of realizes what he's doing, though.
Yeah.
It's great. It's fantastic. I love his. He's only 29 years old.
I know. He's going to go places, man.
He looks 59, man. He looks like he would have been a star in 1959.
Oh, I know.
Massive star.
He was taking on Oney Lorcan. Oney gave an interview before the match.
I like that Oney didn't even look close to the camera. Most of the interview, he was looking towards like the exit to the ring.
He was eager to get out there.
He was very eager.
He wanted to fight.
I love Oney Lorcan because there's zero frills.
Oh, I know.
There is no frills.
I know. It's great.
I like his theme song, though. Then he just raises his hand. He's so ugly, and he's got that weird body. It's great. It's so fantastic. Weird. And this dude, this match, I can watch this. I can watch these two fight literally every week and never get bored.
Oh, I know. I can just watch Oney come out and slap Lars Sullivan repeatedly across the face and never get bored of it.
The chops that just seem to make Lars even stronger. And then he like did the thing where he grabs him by the neck and starts slapping his face.
Oh, that's
and
crazy.
Lars just screams at him in this weird beast growl. And then it was amazing. It was just Oney Lorcan trying. It was a man versus monster. Like Oney Lorcan, this thin bastard, just not selling or just trying to chop this giant thing down. And Lars Sullivan just eating everything in sight.
And making it like he was acting like literally it made him stronger.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great. I can watch. I wish they would have a best of 100 series.
Well, it needs to be an odd number, 101.
Right. Well, okay. They need to have 101 matches, and Lars Sullivan goes 101. Oney Lorcan gets one win in the very last one.
And that'd make Oney a huge star.
Yes.
After losing 100 straight matches to Lars Sullivan, winning the last one.
That'd be amazing. And then he retires. Oh, that'd be great.
Now he goes to Maine and wins the Universal title.
And he figured out the cheat code for defeating monsters. Beasts, whatever.
So, of course, Lars wins this match after a really fun match. After he gets the pin, he goes to attack Oney Lorcan. But then Danny Burch, Oney Lorcan's new best friend, comes out
new
to make bestie. The save.
Yeah, man, I loved it. So next week, maybe we're going to get Danny Burch, or at some point, should we get Danny Burch versus Lars Sullivan?
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic. I don't want them to do the thing where Danny Burch and Lars and Oney Lorcan team up in a handicap match. I don't want them to do that. Don't do that.
No, but I do want to see Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch become a tag team.
Oh, I definitely want to see that. I love this, man. Danny Burch, he's great. Oney Lorcan, he's great. Oh, man. Just look, I just want them to stay in NXT until Vince retires.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
Because they'll totally be Jobber Supreme when they go to Maine.
That's
bums me the crap out.
I know.
Big time. Next up, Ruby Riott interview. I like this. You're saying, look, just because me and Nikki Cross teamed up, you know, doesn't mean that
they're friendos.
We're not friends. Yeah, we're not friendos. We're not going shopping together. We're not going out getting hair extensions together. I think Nikki Cross looks amazing with that longer hair.
Mm-hmm.
She looks like
Ruby Riott.
Ruby Riott, I'm sorry, Ruby Riott. Yeah. She looks like a much more developed character.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, something about it. Ruby Riott's ascent has been pretty crazy.
I know.
When did she get signed? I'm looking this up. She was Heidi Lovelace.
Yeah. I mean, she debuted just a matter of what? It was around Orlando, right?
Yeah.
So 6 months ago?
Shine. Oh, wow, yeah.
And the fact that she's already gotten as popular as what she is pretty impressive.
Oh, dude, yeah, no. January 4th, 2017, so Tokyo Dome Day.
When she debuted?
This year, it was announced that she had signed and reported to the WWE Performance Center. She made her in-ring debut January 13th, at a live event, losing to Daria Baronato, so Sonya Deville. She made her TV debut in March.
Wow.
That was 6 months ago.
That's crazy.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, she's really good.
That's right. That's right. At TakeOver Orlando. That's right.
Yeah.
I remember
she was involved in the Sanity versus Ty and Roderick
Strong.
Yeah,
right. And she's going to be in the video game already.
What's that?
That's fantastic. She's going to be in that video game already,
2K18. Oh, I know. It's great.
I called it that video game. I don't know why I did that. That's awesome, man. She's great.
She is great.
Ready for prime time.
Next.
Oh, man.
Heavy Machinery,
who, by the way, now I have another reason not to like them.
Why?
They no-sold Karen wearing a Going In Raw shirt on a high five.
not cool heavy machinery.
Not cool at all, man. She had her hand
ready
to go.
That was
and
awesome.
They no-sold it.
That was awesome.
She had on a Going In Raw shirt.
That was awesome that Karen was wearing her Going In Raw shirt.
I know.
Heavy Machinery is taking on Demetrius Bronson and Patrick Scott.
Patrick Scott looks exactly like the Lost Curry brother. Dude, that dude looks exactly like Stephen Curry. But like 15 years old. He does. Tell me he doesn't.
I was watching it on my phone, so I didn't notice.
Oh my God, he did. He was great. He was a good little actor, though. Because when he was trying to chop one of the Heavy Machinery guys and getting nowhere with it, he was very sad about it. So that was pretty cool. Demetrius Bronson, what were those pants that he wore?
Well, they were
They were slacks, but like spray painted with like pinstripes. But you know, they're not pinned. You can't pinstripe that.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you, man.
I don't like it. I don't like those pants. Those are not good pants. He's a built dude. He used to be in the NFL.
Yeah. You say he should be or used to be?
No, he used to be.
Okay.
He played for the Seahawks, dude.
I thought you said he should be.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I got these earbuds. I'm trying to hear you. I'm in my garage recording this.
That'll be interesting. You're recording video, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That'll be an interesting sight. Man, you need to take one of those banners home from the news desk. So you need to put it behind you.
We need them all for the news desk, don't we?
What's that?
Don't we need them all for the news desk? We do.
We'll get some new ones for you.
Okay.
We'll do more stuff remotely, so you don't have to.
I got a plain white wall behind me.
Oh, man. You should have put up some posters.
I didn't have time this morning, man.
There's always time.
No.
To make things better.
No.
Oh, man. I do not like Heavy Machinery, but they went on. I do like their finish.
Yeah, the finish is great.
I like the finish. They just sandwich a guy. Or they don't sandwich them. They just pile on top of each other.
Yeah, the compactor.
On top of their opponent. Yeah. Demetrius Bronson's got a great NFL-type body. Like, he's a built dude.
Yeah.
So get him a lot of reps. It's so hard, man. It's so hard for Performance Center guys to come up with all the talent that WWE is signing from, like, indie feds.
Mm-hmm.
All the credit. Like, guys doing this for, like, you know, years and years, sometimes a decade. All that credibility they have, and then, you know, some dude comes up from the NFL. It's got to be difficult to break through, man.
I know.
But he did okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next up, during a very important William Regal press conference.
Yeah, he was
outside,
talking about NXT TakeOver Houston already.
Yeah. And one of those microphones wasn't on. I watched it on my TV right here. And clearly, he had like one of the smaller Zooms, and it was not on.
The red light wasn't on?
No. The screen wasn't even, like, he literally didn't turn the unit on. So it wasn't just that there was no red light. I'll never forget, I was laughing so hard. It was like 2 years ago. I was watching a Kings game here in town on TV.
Yeah.
And then the press conference afterwards, you know, they go in the locker room. When they interview all the guys, and somebody had one of our old Zooms that, you know, the old one we used to use.
Yeah.
The H4N, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the red light was blinking. It wasn't solid.
Oh, they had. He
hit it once, but he didn't hit it twice. So he wasn't getting any audio. And I know that guy after the fact was like, "Craig, where's the audio for?
Oh,
where's the audio? Oh, man. I think it was the coach, too."
That's a bummer.
You need that audio, man.
Yeah. On Zoom, make sure you hit the record button twice.
You got to do it twice.
Yep. So Regal was holding a press conference, I'm assuming impromptu, outside the Performance Center.
Yeah.
And Johnny Gargano exits Performance Center. And Regal says,
"Johnny, come over here, lad. All right. I understand. You asked me for a rematch against Cien Almas, Andrade Almas. And after much consideration, I've decided to grant you, after you dispatched with those piles of trash, Tino Sabatelli and the other guy.
Riddick Moss.
I've decided to grant you your rematch request against Andrade Cien Almas. Asuka. And that'll happen. When is that going to happen? Next week?
Maybe.
2 weeks?
2 weeks. I don't remember.
I feel like everything with Regal is 2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks from now. He always gives him 2 weeks advance. 2 weeks from now, it'll be taken.
He knows how to build anticipation.
He does. Not next week. It's always 2 weeks from now.
He'll
be taking on Andrade San Almas. And it'll be grand. It'll be a good match. You think Andrade San Almas is out the door, man?
To Maine?
No.
Oh, just out the door, period?
Maybe. I get that feeling. He's not. He hasn't been announced as DLC for 2K18.
No, I don't think he's out the door. I'm sure he has a multi-year contract.
Sawyer Fulton's in the game.
Yeah, because he was part of Sanity. They probably started development when he was still in Sanity, though.
San Almas isn't?
I don't have an answer for you, man.
I think he might be gone, man.
No, I don't think so.
He was a massive star in Mexico.
I understand.
He's making, like, what, $25,000 a year in NXT?
I don't know, man. I don't have an answer for you, but I don't think I'm not going to use his lack of inclusion in 2K18 as evidence that he's leaving the company.
Many pieces of the puzzle. Is Gargano in 2K18? Yeah, he is. I saw him. Oh yeah, we played. Oh
yeah, he's in the game. Yeah,
we played it as him. That's in one of our videos. Oh man. Anyways, I love these. I love when they do this. I just wish that there was a B story going on in the background.
Like there was with Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan in the ring.
They need to do more of that. I love that stuff.
Well, I think the B story was William Regal talking about NXT TakeOver Houston this far.
There was no meat there. They said
something like, we have something very special for you planned.
No, he didn't say that.
At the end, he did.
What does that mean? What does that even mean? That can mean anything.
I don't know what it means.
A brand new signee by the name of... I don't know. I got nothing.
Nick Jackson. Matt
Nick Jackson. Oh, whoa!
Young Bucks.
The Young Bucks. Too sweet. They're too sweet. Too sweet boys.
Or Adam Page.
Generation Me. Yeah. Yeah, Hangman Page. Next up, we had Liv Morgan versus Vanessa Bourne.
Yeah.
Not a great match. Here's the thing about Liv Morgan. So she's small.
Mm-hmm.
Like really small.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike with Alexa Bliss, for example, Alexa Bliss is tiny, but I never get the feeling that she's not strong. Like, she doesn't try to execute moves that make her look like she's out of her depth in terms of strength.
Yeah.
Liv Morgan, I noticed this. It looks like she has a tough time lifting anything. Like, towards the finish, when she went to go pin Vanessa Bourne, and granted, I think as the person getting pinned, when somebody puts their arm under your leg to bring it up,
you're probably supposed
to help them a little bit. Liv Morgan looked like she was, and I noticed that during the match, though. Like, it doesn't feel like she has any strength whatsoever. Like, everything feels like it's a task. Every little thing feels like it's a task. And I don't know how to count it. Maybe it's just because of Vanessa Bourne. I don't know what kind of experience she has.
Oh, she's pretty new.
She's pretty green.
Yeah.
And so maybe the other person is supposed to make it look easier for them. But it was kind of distracting to me. And then by the end, I was like, God, it looks like she can barely even lift up the other person's Vanessa's leg. Like, I don't know if that's a Vanessa Bourne thing, but I don't know. I've never noticed that before. I've never noticed somebody in the ring looks so physically weak, like with their actions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. It. I was like, man, it just bugged the crap out of me.
Okay.
I like her though. I like Liv. She has a great look.
Yeah. She's got good energy.
She's kind of too Carmella-ish. They need to put her in some different gear or something.
Yeah, I know. That's gonna be the problem.
Did you notice they try to do something different with her video package this week?
Oh no.
They try to give her like the Blake. You know, remember when Blake and Murphy would come out to that god awful dubstep?
Yeah, yeah.
And they would like the camera would move a lot.
Yeah.
They try to do the camera moving a lot thing with her. Like she came out and the camera like went all weird, like canted or something. It was like
zoom in and out.
A little bit, and then was like sort of off to the side and stuff. And I was like, I don't know, man. I think Carmella's kind of over. Like Carmella's established a really good foothold. And Liv Morgan, I can even tell in her little, because she gave a little camera promo thing. And I can even tell with that, she was playing, I think it felt like maybe she was playing down her New York accent.
Oh.
They're
kind of distancing her from the New Jersey thing.
I feel, yeah, New Jersey, I'm sorry, Jersey, yeah. I feel like they need to figure something else out. I think she's super young, so mm-hmm. she has plenty of time. Mm-hmm. But you know what they should do, since now apparently, at least on Twitter, her and Tyler Bate have something going on, some flirtation anyways. They should give her a British accent. They should make her like a female Jack Gallagher. Right? And then she comes out with British Strong Style.
Okay.
Give her a new name. What's a British name?
She can be Liz Morgan instead of Liv.
Oh, there you go.
Short Queen for Liz. Elizabeth.
Yeah. Elizabeth Morgan.
There you go.
Hello. Oh, that's a good one. See, look at that. We should be the booking committee for NXT.
You should.
All right, so here you go, Liv. You're going to do a British accent, and this is terrible. She just says, tally-ho.
Oh, no.
It's like, what? What was that? Fancy some tea and scones. Well, that's better. Oh, anyway, let's go. What'd you think about this Aleister Black? Aleister Black was in the ring at the Performance Center
doing some
kickboxing sparring session. And they asked, hey, what do you think about Velveteen Dream? I love that Aleister referred to him as Patrick.
Yeah, that I liked a lot.
That was really cool. I feel like he gave him too short of a shrift, though. I feel like he kind of needed to, I don't know. Number one, I like Aleister Black talking. A lot of people are like, oh, I'll ruin his mystique. I like him talking. He comes off as very matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. What did you think of his...
No,
his...
I agree. Is that, yeah, he don't think he gave Velveteen Dream enough credit.
He just said that he was a child looking for attention.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think now that I just said that out loud, I kind of like in concept. But I don't know. It just felt like he gave him too short of a shrift.
No, I agree.
Didn't give him enough respect.
Yeah.
I mean, if he said something like, you know, he needs to do a lot. If he thinks he's going to get under my skin and make a name for himself by invading my personal space, he needs to think again.
Yeah.
Something like that. And on top of that, like, he's a tad mumbly.
That I don't mind.
Like, towards the end.
I can empathize with that.
Towards the end, I literally didn't hear what, like, the last line he said was. And I was like, wait, what did he say?
He's a low talker.
Maybe I'm just projecting because, like, you mumble a little bit.
Yeah, I do. I mumble a lot.
But not that bad. You don't mumble that bad.
I mumble quite a bit. Maybe that's his future gimmick, is low talker.
He's kind of a low talker, man. He's kind of a low talker. It's all right, though.
It is.
I notice that you counteract your mumbling sometimes. I don't think you, on air, you don't really mumble that much.
No, I'm
in person, in like when the cameras aren't rolling, like sometimes I got to ask you a couple times, but then sometimes I do this. I notice you ask me what, like three times when I mentioned something the other day, and sometimes I just mumble too.
No, I'm conscious of it, so I try not to mumble as much on camera.
Oh, yeah. No, you're good. And then you sometimes hand talk too.
Yeah.
You use your fingers to talk. Oh, man. How much do you love Cassius Ohno?
Oh, he's awesome.
He took on some jabroni named Fabian Aichner.
Yeah, Fabian Aichner was in the Cruiserweight Classic.
Representing Italy, Fabian Aichner. Yeah, I looked him up. He comes from something called New Europe Wrestling, something like that. And then, so he did the Cruiserweight Classic to job to Jack Gallagher, probably in the first round.
Yeah.
And then went back, and then they brought him in here to job to Cassius Ohno.
Yeah, he's pretty athletic. That plancha he did.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
That was great.
He almost ate crap.
I know,
too.
He had to do a full squat on the ropes to get it off.
Yeah.
But then his double springboard moonsault looked good. Ohno got out of the way, though.
Speaking of people jumping out of the ring, how'd you love Oney Lorcan with that tope?
Oh, yeah.
Solid. That was great.
That was great.
I just like saying the word tope.
It's a good. That and plancha were both
plancha
good.
Plancha and tope.
Yeah.
Those are great words. Which one's a... What is it? A plancha is when you, like, jump out full on and then flip, right?
Well, a tope is, I think, when you just jump over the rope.
You're right.
Or through the rope. But I think a plancha, you use the ropes.
Oh. Did Trent use... what did Trent do at Wrestle Kingdom when he landed on nothing?
He didn't use the ropes. So that'd been a tope. That would have been a tope con Hilo.
Oh. What's Hilo mean?
I don't know
what con means.
I don't know.
Is Hilo flip?
Maybe.
Like you're jumping with a flip?
Could be.
Anyways, that was a plancha out of nothing. Cassius Ohno won with a cyclone kick.
Yeah.
Man, how much would you love to see Cassius Ohno up there on main roster?
Oh, great.
Pete, you know, I don't know what they're doing, man. Some guys are just born to be over with the fans, and that nobody more than Cassius Ohno.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how much would you love to see him get, like, a massive push on the main roster on Raw?
Because
he's big. Well, obviously, he's a big dude.
Yeah. Imagine some matches between him and Braun Strowman. How awesome that'd be.
Dude, and the people would be so...
Oh, yeah.
If he made his way up to Brock, and I'm not delusional, that would never happen. He would be a massive star. He could be massive. Massively over with the fans.
All it would take, have Ohno come to the main roster, have him in a 3-month program with Samoa Joe.
Oh my God.
How incredible would that be?
I don't know why they would never do that, man.
I know.
Because he could put on some freaking amazing matches.
I know. That would be great.
It's never going to happen, though, man.
I don't think it's going to happen at all. Next.
Do you even think he's going to go to Maine, though?
Oh, he might, but I don't know if they're going to have him be in a program with Samoa Joe, much less Braun Strowman. Because he's already in his late
30s. I don't think... How old is he?
I think he's in his late 30s.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think they would give him Ty Dillinger treatment, do you?
I would hope not. I mean, Ty doesn't deserve Ty Dillinger treatment. So I don't know.
Ty Dillinger is exactly where his ceiling is.
I don't know where they see Cassius Ohno in 2 years.
Oh, geez, he's our age. Oh, he's 37.
I don't know where he sees himself in 2 years. Like, did he come to NXT just to go to NXT? Is he kind of a player-coach thing? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Because when he first came in and was losing matches, that's what I thought. Maybe he was there to help instruct, but also to wrestle some.
Yeah.
But as far as I know, there's never been any clarity as far as what his exact role is beyond wrestler. If there is a role beyond wrestler, I don't know.
I mean, obviously, he's not getting like the Aleister Black, Finn Balor treatment. No. That's obvious. He's not getting the Samoa Joe treatment, but God, he could be so over.
I know.
I don't get it, man. People love that guy. They just love him because of who he is.
I know.
And that's honestly, that's what people, it's a Daniel Bryan thing. That's why people love Daniel Bryan.
Because he came off as completely genuine.
Exactly. And that's what people want. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about Roman Reigns that was just boggling my mind. I was like, he's not. People can try to argue that he's top guy, but it's like when he comes out and everybody boos him, like, what are they even doing?
I know. And his work is most effective, especially on the mic, when he seems genuine.
When he seems genuine, exactly.
Like last week on Raw, the opening segment, he seemed genuine. That beef away. That seemed genuine. It seemed like that was something he made up on the spot.
Exactly. Oh, man. I love Cassius Ohno, though. He's great.
Yeah, he's great. Next, Drew McIntyre gave an interview talking about his upcoming match against Roderick Strong for the NXT Championship.
Yep. He says, he said, I came out there to congratulate him and tell him that I'm proud of him, but he's not going to take this title off of me. Yeah. Something like that. He said, oh, this is going to be my first defense. Hey, I hear this is a hell of a match, though.
Yeah.
Hear it's a hell of a match.
Cool. Can't wait.
Is that next week?
Or 2 weeks. Well, Regal didn't announce it, so maybe it is next week.
I think he probably announced it last week.
Yeah.
2 weeks from now.
Yeah, I think he did. I think he did last week, he said, because Roderick Strong talked to him. 2 weeks.
2 weeks from now, you're going to fight. In a foot, maybe he just like, you know what they call 2 weeks in England?
What?
A fortnight.
Fortnight, yes, that's right.
A fortnight from now, you're going to fight. I'm going to love it.
Cool.
Anyways, next up we had Adam Cole's promo, baby.
He needs to work out. He needs to work out what to do with his intro because the ring announcer said Adam Cole, and then he said Adam Cole, but the crowd said baby after the ring announcer said Adam Cole. So either he needs to say Adam Cole with the ring announcer, or he needs to tell the ring announcer not to say his name.
Oh, am I right?
That's
a good point. I hadn't thought about that. You're right. That crowd, everybody just wants to say baby. What'd you think of his trunks, dude? They're terrible.
You're caught up on his trunks for some reason. They don't bother
me. Awful.
They're not awful.
Are you serious?
They're no more awful than anything he had in Ring of Honor.
Okay. They are. They're much worse. Are you kidding? The Bullet Club gear he had is awesome.
Okay.
Because it just said Bullet Club everywhere. And it said Cole in Bullet Club letters. I don't expect that because he's not Bullet Club anymore. But the words Bay Bay, right?
Yeah.
It looks like they're not in a font. It looks like they were just cut freehand, right?
Yeah.
Out of whatever they put on there. They look it's like a five-year-old design. Oh, I'll put Bay Bay on there. Okay. Just slap it on there. And then like wherever they can fit the AC, they slap that on there. They put some like red glittery-ish material on the front and then put like a in black letters an AC on that.
Yeah.
So it barely even stands out. And then like some white trim. They're so bad.
I'll tell you, man.
They're so bad. Dude, this is NXT. This is the like you're coming up, man. You're coming up.
Maybe he made him himself to save some money.
Like does that come out of his salary?
Yeah, everybody has to pay for their own ring gear.
No.
Yeah.
No way.
I think so.
I don't think that's correct. That can't be true. I mean, if they're like robes, maybe. But not just like, hey, I think you just walk up. A seamstress got to be salaried.
Yeah, she's salaried with the WWE, but I think you have to go up to her and say, I want, you know, like with your materials, and then she just sews it together. You have to pay for the materials, I think.
Okay, well, the material, that's one thing, though.
That's paying for your ring gear. Like, they have like to buy
Adam
their own
Cole
boots.
Just need, he, dude, he needs the friend. Everybody in the wrestling industry, like all those pro, you can tell who has, like, Marty Scurll. He's got a friend. He's got a dude who knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Right?
I know.
Adam Cole has never had that guy. He has a million friends in the industry. Why doesn't he say, hey, Marty, who's your guy?
Maybe he takes satisfaction in doing things himself, Steve.
He shouldn't. I don't know, man.
He did have a friend, maybe, and that maybe that friend was one who was designing all his pro wrestling shirts.
Yeah, they're terrible. That was him, too.
I know. Maybe that he just likes that design aesthetic.
Terrible? He likes maybe. The terrible design?
I don't know.
It's like he had, I don't know, his nephew cut out the words Bebe. Maybe that's it. Maybe he just likes it. Like, talk about DIY stuff always looked amazing. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me that they didn't, man. No, I don't know, man. They have a designer on staff. That DIY stuff was great.
Yeah, it was.
I wouldn't even know how to design that good.
But like the Johnny Gargano's logo, that's something he's had for a while.
Yeah, I know. But the fact that they were able to incorporate that and then
same
Psycho
with
Killer stuff,
Ciampa. Yeah,
but then like
a wrestling like, T-shirt with that logo on it,
the scheme and like the color matching.
Oh, I
and
know. All I that's, know.
It looked brilliant.
It looked
so good. And then he comes out here with the stuff looks like he Elmer glued it on. It's terrible, man. I'll
tell you, man.
I liked his promo, though.
Yeah, it was fine.
It was good.
I was expecting a bit more. I still want to know, like, they're just there to change things. That's their deal.
Oh, no, you called this perfectly, like, last week, when, like, everybody's thing can't simply be, this is my NXT now.
Yeah.
That can't be everybody's thing.
Yeah.
Like, at least with Sanity, it's like, okay, chaos has arrived. We're going to cause chaos or whatever, you know? Yeah. I mean, you kind of moaned back in the day about, well, we don't really know what their mission statement is, but you can kind of figure, you know, it's to cause chaos, you know?
Yeah, and the commentary team has at least spelled that out somewhat.
Right, and it's sort of inherent in their look and what they
do when they
interfere and shit. But, like, yeah, coming out and saying, this is mine now.
Yeah, we're here. Me. You feel that sensation? That's us changing things. We're here to shock the system.
Yeah. But I don't know, really. They're, you know, they're
but like how their music kind of sounds vaguely NWO-esque.
It does kind of,
So are they there? Are they there to invade?
They got to change that. They got to change that at some point.
So I don't know.
Okay. I'll say this: even their shirt, the Undisputed Era shirt, like it's not a good name, but like that had some crisp design work.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever did that, can you design me some trunks?
Yeah.
Some Undisputed Era looking trunks.
Maybe those are just trunks that Adam Cole had lying around.
Probably.
Kind of
I would think
interim
that,
until they get some new stuff made. Although they haven't wrestled for a month after
he's
his
had
debut.
Lots of time.
I think there'd be plenty of time, but maybe not. Maybe he ordered some stuff to make the trunks. They're in back order.
Oh, maybe yeah, that could
some
be.
Stuff out of his closet he's had for a while just to hold them over for a while. I will say Adam Cole looks like he's in great shape.
Oh, he does. He looks fantastic. He looks great. He's so comfortable on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
There was this match looked like there might have been a little bit of ring rust.
A little bit. At one spot early on when Eric Young lift himself up over the turnbuckle, and I don't know if kind of Cole was supposed to go under him or supposed to
stop
where he did, but it looked like it might have been some miscommunication.
Yeah, he was just getting the butterflies out, probably. Who knows? And the commentary team did a good job of covering that one.
Mm-hmm.
The match ended with I did like the beginning. I mean, here's kind of the problem with this. Unless they give the Undisputed Era a more solid motivation than competing with a group like Sanity, who is so well developed, it's going to be kind of difficult to get over, you know?
Yeah.
Because I love the beginning, how Eric Young was just sort of staring at him and
smiling.
Oh,
yeah, being all creepy and stuff.
And Cole started yelling at him and say, come on, fight me.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. But
yeah, that was good.
Being the new guy debuting, I don't know if you want to be in that position of seeming vulnerable. You know?
No, I agree. Not to say that necessarily Sanity and Undisputed have to be diametrically opposed in terms of their philosophies.
Mm-hmm.
But when one faction has a very defined philosophy and the other one kind of doesn't,
mm-hmm.
it seems the motivations can come off as murky.
Yeah, and it just and that all goes to make the Undisputed guys a tad weak feeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, even last week when Drew comes out and then they're cornered by Sanity and they get their butts kind of beat. I don't know you want to be doing that right now.
I know.
You know?
I mean, that's a good opportunity for, say, Donovan Dijak to come out and help him out.
Yeah, right. And I mean,
even the odds.
I don't know. I mean, I saw one picture from next week's tape. I've said this. I feel like Roddy Strong is going to join them.
Could be.
And that's going to help things. If they want to run the place, then, you know, recruit the guy that they know really well,
mm-hmm.
who's already there, who's getting title shots. That's what you do.
Yeah.
So I hope that it turns out to be sort of a strength in numbers thing. They need to come off as strong if we're gonna be into it.
Exactly.
So,
but it's a decent match. Eric Young did that top rope cross body onto everybody on the outside. That was cool.
Yeah. So that's how the match ended. Eric Young, he had the choice to either execute that on Adam Cole or to break up the Sanity shenanigans, or I'm sorry, to add to the Sanity shenanigans. And he chose the latter.
He chose went chaos. Out and,
yeah, he chose chaos, exactly, which fits perfectly with him. It wouldn't have made any sense for him to do that to Cole if given the option. He comes back in. Here's my main problem also with Adam Cole's finisher, which is like a running knee strike kind of?
Shining Wizard.
Okay, Shining Wizard, whatever. I wish that he would proceed it with a super kick.
Oh, yeah.
I wish the super kick would stun a guy because we know that he can deliver a really good super kick. Mm-hmm. I wish he would stun a guy with a super kick, come off the ropes, and then deliver the Shining Wizard.
Yeah, maybe a Shining Wizard to the person's back.
Yeah, there you go.
That'd be good. Oh, did you notice that big old welt Eric Young got from taking that bump on the apron?
Oh, I didn't.
He got a massive welt on his forehead.
Because
he did that spot where he did like a flare flop on the apron.
Oh, yeah, right.
And after that, it seemed like he had this huge welt on his head. It sounded like it hurt.
Got to be careful with that.
Yeah. So I wonder if they're not going to have Adam Cole do, what is it, his old finisher, the last shot?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be kind of tough to do to some of the larger competitors.
Oh, he couldn't do that to like Drew.
But it'd be impressive if he got Drew up to do that.
Yeah, but come on, man.
I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming
he's not known for his feats of strength.
No, I know, but I'm assuming that he's wrestled competitors much larger than himself during his career.
You would think, right? You would think. I don't know, man.
Let's take some questions.
But, yeah, okay. Let's see here.
Low-level writer Carlos Hackworth. Power rankings.
Pow, 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 pow.
Do you, top five superstars who should be next for the Cruiserweight title shot? Number one, Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, that makes all the sense.
Let's take Neville out of the equation for now.
Yeah, no, Cedric.
One, Cedric. Two, Mustafa Ali.
He hasn't really been doing much lately.
I know, but he's great.
You know, I'd love to see Noam Dar versus Enzo.
Okay, that's three.
Because they're kind of different sides of the same coin, kind of.
Yeah. Four.
Well, they could circle back around to Akira Tozawa.
Yeah, and then Rich Swann.
Oh, yeah, Rich Swann, yeah. He needs to really do more of the driving thing. JT Hossack, considering Brock may eventually leave, are they pushing Lars hard for a monster versus monster match because the monster versus beast match got so much hype? What's the probability that it would happen? And if it did, how would you book it?
It would only happen. It would only happen if Brock resigned, because Lars isn't coming up before Mania.
He's not coming up for a little while.
Yeah,
but they do have him on a pretty strong trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got. I want to see Lars versus Damo.
Yeah.
Go, Killian Dain. Big John Spud. Undisputed Era's theme song, yay or nay?
It's kind of like the NWO theme, so I'll give it a shot for now. I'll say yay.
It's placeholder. I guarantee you it's placeholder.
Could be.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe Raleigh. Power rank.
Power rank.
Top five most likely contenders to hand Lars Sullivan his first singles loss.
You think it's going to go all the way up to Maine?
It should.
I know it really should, but I don't know what they have plans for him for.
I don't either.
You know, I mean, he could be a joke, or he could be.
I don't know. I mean,
legit.
He's got the bona fides to be a legit monster in the ring, and he has this kind of surprisingly soft spoken demeanor on the mic.
Oh, I love it.
And based on the limited promos of him I've seen and what he's posted on Twitter, he's fairly verbose.
I personally think there's a lot of money to be made with him.
Yeah.
But you never know what they're going to do with these guys.
I know.
You never know how they're going to handle him. I mean, I guess he could have Braun, you know, potential.
Yeah.
But you never know. I mean, it's like I said with the Tebow thing. We don't see him in practice.
I know.
You know? But I love him so far.
I think a lot of it, I mean, I don't think you can doubt his potential in ring. I think a lot's going to depend on how much he develops on the mic. What we've mm-hmm. seen so far is good, and like I said, he almost has, I think he could, with some development, have potentially some similarities in terms of mic work with Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
In terms of, of their verbosity and their vocabulary.
Yeah, he seems like, whenever he talks, he seems like a guy who might have he might be pretty verbose.
Yeah, yeah, same on Twitter, too.
Oh, no kidding,
yeah,
huh?
Same thing.
Okay, I haven't really noticed, but yeah, that's great.
So if they can channel that into an effective character,
yeah,
it could be interesting.
No, I love him. I think he has potentially a really high ceiling. It's just you never know how they're going to mm-hmm. approach these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to bring him in and immediately job him to, you know, Baron Corbin? I don't know.
No, I don't know.
I hope he simmers a lot in NXT. I hope they let him really sit in the juices, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see here.
Kingdom member Steve
Kuharski.
Kuharski, thank you. Hey, friendos, is it possible that Fish and O'Reilly beat Sandy at TakeOver, then Cole beats Drew? I'm kind of wondering now for Houston if they're going to do Undisputed versus all of Sanity. So Drew has a title reign longer in 3 months.
When is Houston? November?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
And then,
do you really think Cole's going to beat Drew that soon?
No, I don't. That's why I think it's going to be Sanity versus Undisputed, like all of Sanity.
No. I know in November, but then Drew versus Cole
at Rumble in January?
At Rumble in January?
That's a
good long time.
That's a five-month title reign.
That's a good – yeah, for NXT, that's a good title reign.
Well, I'd say either – but, you know, like, they could, we've talked about this before, that if Undisputed recruit Roderick Strong, and then Roderick Strong somehow gets another title shot at TakeOver, that Cole can position himself as the guy who gets the belt for Strong, only to eventually double-cross him.
Yeah, that could be fun. That could be good.
So, he can kind of play the new architect.
Yeah, right.
And kind
I
of,
like that.
You know, maybe Cole thinks, okay, well, the odds of me beating Drew aren't that great because Drew is massive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guarantee the belts on someone that I know I can beat, get it on Roddy, have them have a good 3 month feud, and then have Cole take it off of him.
Eddie Jose Glorious Menivar, what do you guys think of a leopard print leather cruiserweight belt for Enzo? Seems inevitable.
Yes. If he's going to hold it for any projected amount of time, yes.
That is going to happen soon.
That'd be kind of funny.
It. Yeah. Naheem Bogard, with the success of the Mae Young Classic, how likely is it that we'll see a women's tag division in NXT and on Main? I think it's more, if it were to happen, NXT would need a second hour, and if they did that, I could totally see that happen. The number of women they signed, what are they going to do with all of them?
You got to add a second hour to NXT.
They got to do something, and a second hour of NXT sounds fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Hamza Halal, will Drew Gulak ever get through all of his slides, and when do you predict it happening? Well, he's got 276 left, So in 276 weeks, we will see them all.
What do you think is going to happen? What do you think would happen first? Drew Gulak would finish his presentation, or Curt Hawkins picks up a win?
Curt Hawkins picks up a win.
Do you think? Let me ask you some. Curt Hawkins' first win, 2017 or nay?
2018. They're going to ride this out for a while.
Somebody else, Eric Blaha, the bass hit king himself, agrees that Adam Cole's music sounds similar to NWO.
It does.
Yeah.
It really does.
And then finally, Matthew the Devil Puncher Leija. Did you mark out when Adam Cole shouted, "Adam Cole, baby"?
If it wasn't kind of a timing botch, I would have. But if he'd said Adam Cole when the ring announcer said Adam Cole, so he said baby when the entire crowd said baby, it would have been a cool moment.
This is the great thing about NXT. I love they still figure things. They're still figuring things out on air. I know. I love that about NXT. Anyways, that's it for questions. That's it for the show. Tomorrow, what do we got going on tomorrow? Victory Road review, baby.
Oh, very exciting.
Impact Wrestling. Hey, here's a preview. They got rid of the Global Force Wrestling logo. No, they can't do that. Yeah, they don't have money for that. So at the very beginning of the show, they show like this really bad like animation of the world and all the channels that you can find. And they used to have like a big GFW logo on like, I don't know, the Pop TV one.
Yeah.
And now it just says Impact Wrestling. They're doing it. But apparently, I was reading this online, apparently because all this stuff was like pre-taped, everybody's still saying GFW and Global Force. So it's going to be like, I think they're done with their TV taping. I think they started doing new TV tapings for starting next week or not. Fuck, I don't know.
It's after, when's Bound for Glory?
I don't know. November?
Because October? If TV taping's after that.
Yeah.
I don't know,
man. It's such a mess. Anyways, that's it for now. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.